This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, it is once again a great pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us all that we get together for the sake of Allah, to learn more about Allah and the deen of Allah and the prophets and the messengers of Allah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention of the stories of the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ O Muhammad, we narrate to you the best of stories. And obviously, when you narrate stories and you tell stories, the purpose of you telling a story, most of the times, is just for you to entertain yourself. Sometimes it's for you to learn lessons and principles out of those stories. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us those stories for our joy and entertainment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us those stories for our spiritual guidance and for us to learn lessons out of those stories. And as we recently finished the stories of the prophets and the messengers, we started with the stories of the Qur'an al-Kareem or from the Qur'an al-Kareem. And the purpose of those stories from the Qur'an al-Kareem is for us to reflect upon those stories. Some of the people that we talk about from the Qur'an al-Kareem are righteous people like the man that we're going to be talking about tonight. And others are wicked people, unrighteous people like the man that we spoke about 2 weeks ago. And that's Qarun. Qarun. So, not necessarily that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions stories of good people. He mentions stories of good people for you to follow, and mentions stories of bad people for you to learn lessons from, not to become like them. Tonight, we'll be talking about a righteous man, 100%. But it is debatable. Is he a prophet or a messenger? Is he a prophet and a messenger, or is he just a righteous man? And this man that we'll be talking about tonight, his name is Al-Khadr. Al-Khadr. Khadr. Al-Khadr. He's a man that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned. And he even tells us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the reason why his name is the Khadr. Because he sat on a plain or a dry land, and after he had gotten up, that land had a lot of plantation. And usually, what's the color of the plantation? Green. And how do you say green in Arabic? Akhdar. And Khadr is the one that brought green plantation. So his name is Al-Khadr is because he sat in a dry land where there was no plants. And the moment he got up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to a green plantation. So his name is Al-Khadr, which means the one that brings green plantation. That's Al-Khadr. Without a doubt, Al-Khadr is a righteous man. Without a doubt, Al-Khadr is a wali, which means he's very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The debate amongst the scholars, is he a prophet and a messenger or not? A lot of the scholars do say that he is a prophet and a messenger. And also, some of them say he's just a righteous man, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired him, like the rest of the other righteous people. We've got righteous people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran and one of them is Luqman. An entire surah was named after this righteous man, Luqman. After this wise man, Luqman. So Luqman is a righteous man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him in the Quran and named an entire surah, chapter after him. But he's not a prophet and a messenger. When do you become a prophet and a messenger? We mentioned that before. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to you a message. And that's an important part that differentiates prophets and messengers from the rest of mankind and the rest of the righteous people. Prophets and messengers, Allah communicates with them. That doesn't mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't communicate with righteous people, but different form of communication. Because Al-Khidr, Allah communicated with him, but not the communication of prophet and messenger. Even Maryam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicated with her. But was she a prophet? No. Was she a messenger? No. Because one of the conditions of a prophet and messenger is that all prophets and messengers are male. Male. We don't have female prophets and messengers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does communicate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala It's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would communicate with you. But the communication with Allah, or the communication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, or the rest of His servants, is different to the communication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the prophets and messengers. So Al-Khadr. The reality is we don't know much about Al-Khadr, beside what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, in which he says, alayhi salatu wa salam, says that he sat in a dry, plain area, and that very moment he got up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought green plantation to it, so it was called Al-Khadr. It was called Al-Khadr. Is that his real name? Some of the scholars say, no, that's not his real name. He has a different name than this. And other scholars say it is his real name. And other scholars say it's his nickname. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. All these are just narrations. But nothing from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beside this hadith. That Al-Khadr was sitting down in a dry area, no plants. The moment he got up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to a green plantation. The other story that we know of Al-Khadr is the story of Al-Khadr and Musa. And inshallah we'll mention it tonight. But before we get into the story of Al-Khadr and Musa, there's few things about Al-Khadr. These are again narrations, opinions of scholars, opinions of even some Sahaba like Abdullah ibn Abbas. But nothing is concrete, just to be clear about it. And to disclose the matter, nothing is concrete. You can't go and say it is. You could believe in it, you could reject it. Believing in it or rejecting it does not increase anything from your iman or decrease anything from your iman. One of the narrations that's not a hadith, when I say that, it means not concrete, that Al-Khadr is the direct son of Adam. And those that carry that view and hold that view, because he's the direct son of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Al-Khadr to stay alive all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met him. That's an opinion, but nothing concrete. And you know what? You believe in it, it's not going to increase from your iman anything. You disbelieve in it, it's not going to decrease from your iman anything. But you can't disbelieve in Al-Khadr. You can't. You can't disbelieve in Al-Khadr. But you could say, you know what? I don't believe that Al-Khadr is the direct son of Adam alayhi salam. No hard feelings. I'll show you that. No problems at all. And as I mentioned, some of the scholars say that Al-Khadr is one of the messengers of Allah to the messengers of Allah throughout the messengerhood from the time of Adam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's an opinion. Is it hadith? No. Is it Quran? No. Just an opinion. Possible? Possible. Is it hard for Allah Azza wa Jalla to do something like that? No. Is it hard for Allah Azza wa Jalla to create someone from the time of Adam and keep him alive for thousands of years all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Some of them even hold the opinion that he's still alive in this day and age. Possible. But anything concrete? No. Nothing concrete. You could believe, disbelieve. But you can't disbelieve in Al-Khadr. And that's where you get some extreme Sufis. We're not against Sufis or Sufism. But the extreme ones, he starts saying that my Shaykh met with Al-Khadr and Al-Khadr gave him the blessing. Now we are over-exaggerating. Now this is over-exaggeration. But is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep Khidr alive from the time of Adam to the day of judgment, to the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to after, to before? What's a hard on Allah Azza wa Jalla to do that? But we know there's someone called Al-Khadr. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned why his name is Al-Khadr. Is there anything that says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Al-Khadr? No. There's no hadith that says the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Al-Khadr. Is it possible that he met him? If he stayed alive from that time and Allah kept him alive, possible. It's possible. But again, these are not core principles of the iman. Everything is possible. These are just narrations. If it's a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's no debate. It's a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's it. Why do we believe in Al-Khadr? Not because Allah mentioned him in the Quran al-Kareem. Even the story of Musa and Al-Khadr, Allah did not even mention Al-Khadr. Allah mentioned a scholar. What we know, if it's Al-Khadr, again, the story of Musa and Khadr, Allah did not mention Al-Khadr. But there are narrations that allude to that the man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Musa to meet is Al-Khadr, or to meet this scholarly man is Al-Khadr. It's some narrations, some of them are weak narrations, some of them from the Sahaba. Wallahu a'lam. It's important that we disclose those things. The other thing that we know about Al-Khadr, if it's the man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah says, عَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. He's a man that we taught him special knowledge. Special knowledge. You and I have average knowledge. You could step it up more and you could have profound knowledge. You learn more, you read more of the Quran al-Kareem and the explanation of the Quran al-Kareem, the Sharia, this and that. You have profound knowledge. But there's a specific knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives it to specific people. And this knowledge is not knowledge that you could learn from books. It's called ilm min ladun. Allah mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. Ilm min ladun. Ilm min ladun, special, specific knowledge to special, specific people from the special one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that you could get and learn from books. It's knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala casts and inspires people. Allah gives it to them. Do people this day and age have ilm al-ladun? It's possible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could teach someone knowledge. Allah will inspire them to learn something. So what we also know about Al-Khadr, what we also know about Al-Khadr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him special knowledge. This knowledge is not that knowledge that you could go and learn from books, or go and learn from scholars, and obviously not from Google. But this is a special knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Al-Khadr. So much so, that the story of Musa and Khadr, that's mentioned in the Quran al-Karim in Surah Al-Kahf, starts when Musa alayhi salam delivered a sermon to Bani Israel. Who's the Messenger, scholar, righteous man, prophet and messenger and leader of Bani Israel during the time of Musa alayhi salam? Who? In a dispute? Musa alayhi salam. He's the most senior scholar, righteous man, believer, mu'min, Muslim, prophet and a messenger. So it's Musa alayhi salam. So during the time of Musa alayhi salam delivered a sermon. So someone asked him that question. What did he say to him? He said, "Oh Musa, who is the most knowledgeable man on the face of this earth?" Someone asked Musa, "Who is the most knowledgeable man on the face of this earth?" So Musa alayhi salam thought about it, contemplated, and what was his answer? "Me, I am the most knowledgeable man on the face of this earth. Not Allah, because I want to show off or boast about it. It's a reality. I know I'm a prophet, a messenger. I know my connection to Allah. I know my knowledge. I look around and I can see people who are knowledgeable, not as knowledgeable as me. So, oh Musa, who's the most knowledgeable man on the face of this earth?" So Musa alayhi salam replied back and said, "Me." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded him. I wanted to teach him a lesson. Allah Azza wa Jalla told him, "Based on what did you give the answer?" Subhanallah. Even prophets and messengers are pulled up, including Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulled him up in the Quran al-Kareem. And I know I'm using a slang word, pulled up, but Allah reprimanded him. Abasa wa tawalla. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in a gathering talking to the chiefs of the people of Quraysh, and one of the blind companions, Muslim, came and spoken to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and did not know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in that environment, gauging and talking to the chiefs of the people of Quraysh, and he started to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam some questions about Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was busy in preaching to the chiefs of Quraysh, especially that he saw some interest in what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ignored that blind companion, so Allah reprimanded him. Abasa wa tawalla. "Oh Muhammad, what do you turn your back and you frown towards one of the people who wants and he is interested in what you're saying?" So Allah did reprimand the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let alone for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not reprimand Musa alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded him, pulled him up. Based on what did you make that decision and answer? Someone asked you, "Who's the most knowledgeable man on the face of this earth?" What did you say you? Based on what? Which also teaches us what? You can't just go and give an answer if you don't know. Just say, "I don't know." Even if you're a prophet and a messenger. Even if you're a prophet and a messenger. And it's sometimes common sense question, you don't answer unless you know. Musa, who's the most knowledgeable man on the face of this earth? Me. Allah told him, based on what? Based on what? Allah wanted to teach him a lesson. But that lesson is not for Musa.
It's for Musa and everyone that comes after him. Then go and give an answer to something that you don't know. You know, these days you've got people, they're not going to back down. They know everything. You know, they know it all. You ask them about everything. Even about things that don't even exist, they're still going to answer. What's going to happen tomorrow? I'll tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow didn't even come. MashaAllah, you know, there's people that know it all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us a lesson. You only say what you know. And you know what? There's no shyness in saying I don't know. That's what we've been taught. That's one of the etiquettes of the knowledge and seeking knowledge. There's no shyness. There's no embarrassment to say, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. It's not, wallahi, you're going to put yourself in a disrespectful position. On the contrary, people respect you even more when you say, I don't know. More than when you say something or you answer a question that you have no knowledge of. You're going to embarrass yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, who told you that you are the most knowledgeable one? He said, Ya Allah, I just thought about it. And I contemplated, I looked around. I couldn't even think of anyone that's more knowledgeable than me from the knowledge that you gave me. So Allah told him, you're wrong. There is someone who's more knowledgeable than you. There is someone who's more knowledgeable than you. I want to give an example and then compare the example to Musa alayhi salam. If I think I know it all, and I'm the most knowledgeable one, and then I find out there's someone else in the Ummah that's more knowledgeable than me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shaft him and get rid of him. He's a threat. Isn't that the typical understanding that we have these days? Subhanallah. When you are up there, and you think you know it all, and then you find out that someone else knows more than you, he becomes a threat. That's the example of us, weak believers. When Musa alayhi salam knew from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there's someone more knowledgeable than him, he said, Ya Allah, guide me to him so I could learn from him. Subhanallah. You will never succeed in knowledge if you have pride. You'll learn from everyone. You will never succeed in knowledge if you have pride. That's why those who come into seeking knowledge with pride, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get rid of them before they even complete and pursue their knowledge journey. Ya Rab, where is he? Let me know where he is. I want to go learn from him. If he knows more than me, I want to go under, I want to go see knee to knee, I want to be under his feet to go and learn from him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, go. And then when you go to the meeting point of two seas, and you lose your food, that's where you'll find him. So Musa alayhi salam took with him his student, Yusha. And he took a lunch box, if you want to call it, that had a fish in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقَبًا. Allah told him two things. You want to find him? He's at the meeting point of the two seas. And when you lose your food. So Musa alayhi salam went with Yusha, his student. Fatah could be his son, but Yusha is not his son, his student. And then later on, what happened to Yusha? He became prophet. He succeeded Musa alayhi salam. They traveled and traveled and traveled in the hot desert, traveling by foot. They were so tired and exhausted that his student told him, let us rest. He said, I'm not going to rest until I reach to the meeting point of the two seas. Which means there's two seas flowing and they meet into one area. Most likely, Sana, if you look at it, you know that connecting little island that connects the Middle East with Egypt, most likely Allah alam could be somewhere else, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him the meeting point of the two seas. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَا مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. They traveled and traveled and traveled and traveled. The student told him, can we rest? He said, I'm not going to rest until I reach to the meeting point of the two seas. Even if I need to travel, even if I need to travel for decades, years, until I get there. Look at the dedication of seeking knowledge. When they got there, they rested. Musa alayhi salam slept. Yusha, his student, his fatah, stayed awake. While Musa alayhi salam is asleep and Yusha is awake, What did they have? They had a lunchbox. In that lunchbox, what was in that lunchbox? There was a fish. Is it hard for me to get an answer? Was that fish dead or alive? Of course it's dead. 100% it's dead. Yusha is sitting there, guarding his teacher, and master, and prophet, and messenger, Musa alayhi salam, while he's sitting there, protecting the food they had. That dead fish in the lunchbox came out of the box into the sea. Excuse me? Yes. It's unrealistic. But Allah made that happen. Because that was the second sign. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Musa? You'll meet him at where you lose your lunch. You'll meet him at where you lose your lunch. So Musa alayhi salam is sleeping from exhaustion and tiredness. While Yusha alayhi salam is protecting and guarding his teacher, master, and prophet, and messenger. And while Musa alayhi salam was asleep, that fish came into life, straight into the sea. Now Yusha, what did he do? He didn't go, wake up. Respect. He's not going to wake him up. He said, you know what? When he wakes up, I'll tell him what happened. Obviously, you could imagine Yusha, he was blown away. He was astonished. But it also shows you that Yusha was righteous. It's not like he looked and he ran and left his teacher there. That's what we'll do. I'll probably hit the boat. Even if it's a problem. I'll run away. I'll get scared. Seeing something like that, a dead fish that just pops out of nowhere into the sea. I'll get scared. But this is our weakness of iman. We're weak people. This is a righteous man. Student of a prophet, a messenger. He stayed there patient. It's not like at least did I wake him up. You know when you get petrified and you so scared and this and that. Like, subhanAllah, he didn't even wake him up. He stayed calm. He said, let my teacher, my prophet, messenger, Musa alayhi salam, wake up from his sleep, then I tell him. When Musa alayhi salam woke up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Yusha forget to tell Musa. So what did they do? They continued with the journey. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. After they've already walked, and the fish had already gone into the sea, into the water. And then Musa alayhi salam had woken up and continued walking. Musa alayhi salam is hungry. He said, let's sit down and eat. He said, I forgot to tell you. What? When you were asleep, the fish came out of the lunchbox straight into the sea. He said, what didn't you tell me that from before? That's exactly the sign that Allah had given me. Let's go back to that place that we lost the fish. That's exactly what Allah told me to go. قال أرأيت إذ أوينا إلى الصخرة فإن نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان. The shaitan made me figure out. قال ذلك ما كنا نبغ. That's exactly what we're after. That's the sign. فارتد على آثارهما قصصا. They went back exactly to where they were. فوجد عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما. So when they returned back, they saw one of our servants, Al-Khadir. آتيناه رحمة, we granted him mercy, and we taught him علما من لدنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما. We taught him the special knowledge. That's it. That's the sign. Straight away, Musa عليه السلام is a prophet and messenger. He picked up. This is the man that Allah wants me to meet. قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا. I've been looking for you. I've been searching for you. Allah told me about you. Can I please follow you and learn from you? Allahu Akbar, Musa. Musa. Musa alayhi salam is considered to be the third greatest human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And is going to seek knowledge from a stranger. Stranger. He said, can I follow you and learn from you? So what did he reply back to him? He said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. He said, you can't bear. You can't handle being with me. I know more than you. And because I know more than you, I'm exposed to more risks in your eyes than you. You might see it to be a risk, but I'm exposed to it. I know more than you. I know what's out there. Allah gave me more knowledge than you, which means I'm more exposed. I'm exposed to more things than you. And I'm afraid that you're not going to handle being with me. And Musa alayhi salam is adamant. Persistent. No, I want to be with you. I want to learn. I want to learn. He said, قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا. He said, by Allah, by the will of Allah, you're going to find me a patient person. Just let me come with you. Let me tag along. I'll give you all my commitment. قَالَ فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرى. If that's the case after Al-Khidr, so from Musa alayhi salam, persistence and determination, he said, if that's the case, you'll come with me, but under one condition. No questions, don't ask. I only talk. It's not an easy one. And who was he talking to? He's not talking to someone, you know, just nobody that just came. The greatest man of that time. A prophet, a messenger that Allah speaks to. Like a man that Allah Azza wa Jalla made miracles appear on his hands. And look at the condition that Al-Khadr imposed on Musa alayhi salam. You follow me, but not even a word. You don't ask, I only talk. When it's time, I'll talk to you. But you don't ask. He said, that's it. I agree. Subhanallah, it shows you the commitment of Musa alayhi salam. فَانْطَلَقَا. So Musa and Khadr went together. حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَا فِي السَّفِينَةِ. They wanted to cross from one shore of the sea to the other shore, from one bank to the other bank. While they were on a boat, so they paid a group of people that were sitting down, going transportation from one side of the sea to the other side of the sea. They're going on this boat, they paid people. Musa and Khadr took a corner in that boat while everyone else is occupied. Two things happened. One of them, a bird came on that boat, drank a sip from the water, and then Al-Khidr tells Musa, see, your knowledge to my knowledge is like the amount of water that this bird had taken from this ocean. And my knowledge to Allah is that sip, that dot of water from this ocean. But then, while Musa alayhi salam and Al-Khidr, and who's Musa? A righteous man sitting down on this boat. What did Al-Khadr do? He broke the boat. He damaged it. It's like vandalizing it. It's like, you know, Shabab, you know what? Come with me. Let's go down the road. There's one of the factories there. And let's, you know, do a graffiti. How do you like that? Let's break down some walls. How do you like that? Come on, Sheikh. Gangsters don't even do that. You should be ashamed of yourself. Can you imagine Musa alayhi salam is with Al-Khadr? Minding their own business in one corner on the boat like everyone else, and then Khidr just punches into one of the walls of the boat and damages it. Musa looked at this, look, what a thuggish action. What would you even want to damage a boat like this? Khidr turned around and told him, didn't we agree that you don't ask? And didn't I tell you can't handle? You've already breached. You've already broken your promise. Musa went back to his mindset. That's it. Kept his cool. Sorry, Khalas. I reacted, but you know, obviously he's gonna react. I'll probably run away from him. Like, you know, how would you even do something like that? These people are kind enough to take us from one side of the sea to the other side on their, but you go and damage it? At least leave them alone. فَانْتَلَقَا حَتَّى إِذَا لَقِيَ غُلَامًا. They reached to the other side of the sea, and while they're walking, they saw a group of young boys playing. So what did he do? He grabbed one of those boys, took him behind the mountain, and killed him. Excuse me? Killed? You murdered the child? So what do you think Musa's just looking like that and keeping his mouth? Of course it's going to explode, it's going to erupt. He said, did you just kill an innocent person? How would you even do something like that? Al-Khadr turned around and said to him, didn't I tell you that you can't bear and handle being with me? See, this is the second time you break a promise. So Musa said, please, I do apologize for my reaction. It's not easy for me to comprehend. Obviously, you know more than me, because that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach Musa, that this man knows more than you. He said, give me one more chance. Al-Khadr told him, one more. You stuff up, you break it, that's it. We'll get apart. No more. You go your way, I go my way. So they continue traveling until they went inside a village. They entered that village. They've asked for water from the people of that village. They didn't give them water. Food, they didn't even give them food. Hospitality, they didn't give them anything. They were so tight. They were so selfish, stingy people. They would not even give a cup of water to their strangers, to their guests. While he was walking with Musa alayhi salam in the middle of that village, he saw a wall of a house that's about to collapse. So Al-Khidr started to get together with some tools, materials, this and that, and refurbish, renovate that wall. Musa alayhi salam is just tagging along, you know, like, out of all people, you want to come and finish off this house? And out of which house? A house of in a village that these people would even give us a cup of water? After Al-Khadr alayhi salam finished from rebuilding with Musa alayhi salam, obviously together, rebuilding that wall that was about to collapse from that house, Musa turned around and said, you know, these people, we've asked them for a cup of water, they didn't even give us a cup of water. At least ask them for something to give us a return. Khidr said, that's it, no more, finished. We've agreed, you break it the first time, second time, third time. Didn't I tell you, don't ask? Didn't I tell you, don't talk about things until I open up to you? And didn't I tell you, you're not going to handle being with me? Because I know what you don't know. I'm exposed to things that you're not exposed to. But before you go. Musa alayhi salam considered, said, that's it. هَذَا فِرَاقٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ. That's it. It's the end between me and you. Al-Khadr said, it's the end. No more. I gave you one chance, second chance, third chance. That's it. I can't continue with this anymore. But before you go, I want to explain something to you. I want to explain to you why I did those three things. Okay? I want to explain to you why I did those three things. Number one, that boat that we were on. And the people of that boat were generous people, but poor people. Just typical laborers. And there was a king at that time going around and taking every single good, no faulty ship and boat. So I thought, you know what, I'll do them a favor. I'll make a fault in it, let them keep the boat. Better off than the king taking that boat away from them. So did we do them a favor or not? We did them a favor. You didn't know I knew. علم اللدون, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me. So we did them a favor at the end of the day. And about that child was a sinister, evil child. And his parents were good people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to replace him with a better child. That this child that is going to cause him a lot of mischief. That later on they might regret having him. So we took his soul as a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you and I can't comprehend or understand as a child. But this is beyond our imagination. At the end of the day, it's beyond our understanding. Like Musa alayhi salam could even comprehend it. You and I are not going to comprehend it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. And about that war, as you've seen, the people of that village are so stingy, so tight, so selfish. They wouldn't even give us a cup of water. That house of that wall that we renovated belongs to two orphans. Their father passed away and he left behind the treasure under that wall. If that wall fell during the time of those orphans who are still before the age of maturity, what's going to happen to that treasure? The people of that village are going to take off them. They'll take off them, as you've seen him, firsthand. They don't even give us a cup of water. So we wanted to renovate that wall and keep that house standing until those kids grow up and then they become mature men, and then when that wall falls, they could take the treasure and give it to themselves. Why? Out of all people, these two children. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a righteous man. Subhanallah. The righteousness of the father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the two greatest people at that time to go and protect his kids. You don't protect your kids. You don't safeguard them. You don't preserve them. Allah does. When you preserve Allah's deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends someone to protect your kids. Don't worry about that. I'm telling you out of experience. Protect Allah's deen, Allah will send someone to protect your kids. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Al-Khidr and Musa alayhi salam to protect those two kids of that righteous man. And then he set his own way. They departed and each one of them went on their own way. That was a very good lesson for Musa alayhi salam. More than this, we don't know much about Al-Khadr, besides what I mentioned to you before. There are narrations here and there about Al-Khadr, and he is the direct son of Adam alayhi salam, and he stays alive all the way to the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of them say he's still alive till this time. Allahu alam, we have no idea. It's just narrations. But at the end of the day, he's a man. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. We grant the mercy from us and we taught him special knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can choose you to be from amongst those that Allah will grant you special knowledge. You don't know him, Allah will choose for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So this is Al-Khadr, and this is what we know about Al-Khadr. More than that, we don't have any other information. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen and hear.
Some dreams to be up in Jannah. It pies person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.